Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Lucky enough to have co-host in the building again today, Michael Bowen. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. Glad to be here.
Special guest today, Melanie Bussell. Melanie Jackson, I know you as, of course. Pretty good history with Putnam County Schools and Cookeville High School. We're going to talk about that today, but welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me today.
No problem. You've been on my list for a long time, Mel, and I finally reeled you in and got you in here. So close to Christmas time here, so I'm sure you got a lot to do, but thanks for being on the show. First question, so we're going to go back to high school. I want you to introduce a little bit. We'll talk about high school sports and our common guy that we know in Verta stuff a little bit later, but I want to let everybody get to know your family first.
Okay. Well, I'm married 31 years as of December 15th to Craig Bussell. We met while we were both at Tennessee Tech. We worked at the Texaco Front Runner, and that's how we hooked up at the Texaco Front Runner, working 4 a.m. breakfast routes. Then we have two kids. Gunner Bussell is 30 years old, and he has two kids, so I have grandkids from him. Blaine Bussell is 9, and Reese Bussell is 1. And then I have Kelsey, who is 26. She went out on the rodeo trail and met her rodeo cowboy out of Mississippi, and his name is Palmer White, and she lured him right back to Tennessee, so they're all right in my neck of the woods, and they have two kids. Caroline is 4, and Ashley Joe is 9 months.
I don't think I knew that you and Craig met at Texaco.
At the Texaco Front Runner on Washington.
How did I not know that?
I don't know.
That is awesome. Well, needless to say, awesome family, hardworking family here in Putnam County. And Kelsey now teaches at Prescott South Middle School. And catch me up on Gunner.
Okay, Gunner works for the water department, the city water department. And he also has started his own business, Falling Water Outdoor Services, a dumpster division. So he has the dumpsters when people are cleaning out their homes or construction. So if you see a trailer running around town with a red steer head on it with Falling Water, that's Gunner Bussell and his new business that he's been in business for about a year now.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to hit on, because I mean that's a huge need in this area right now that you wouldn't really think it, but I see those things everywhere.
Yes. Yes. And he we started out, we hit the ground running last January, and he hasn't slowed down. So we're very blessed right now.
Wow, that's incredible. Got to spend some time with Kelsey a couple weeks ago and catch up with her. And she's coaching over at Prescott South Middle School and doing some softball.
She is. And, of course, my dad, Ralph Jackson, he gets right in there and helps her. He builds all the pitchers, of course. He's over at Bases Loaded, and he builds pitchers for everybody in the Upper Cumberland, not just Kelsey at Prescott. So let's just put that out there. But he locates kids off Kelsey's team early on, and he brings them in, and he works with them so she can be competitive at that middle school level.
Behind every good man is a good woman. So, Miss Jackson.
Oh, yes. My mom, Kathy Jackson, she has followed and traveled miles upon miles, chasing me in basketball and softball, and Mary Beth, my sister. Of course, Mary Beth played college softball at Roan State and Cumberland College. She now has Isla Kate that my dad is giving pitching lessons to. Isla Kate's 10. And so we just keep going with it. So it's good. Everybody in the family's pretty happy.
Got to coach Mary Beth back in the day. She was a heck of a player and through our common thread, Verta stuff. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as time goes on.
So, you touched on your dad. So talk a little bit about growing up playing sports, both you and Mary Beth, with your dad's influence on you. Obviously a legendary pitching coach, softball coach around here. Give everybody the insight on that.
So when I was 7 or 8 years old, I brought home the paper from Capshaw Elementary School to sign up to play some summer league softball, right? Just the kid. And so we played at Jerry Whitson. The first year, I went to tryouts. I got placed on a team. My dad sat on the sidelines, and he could not stand it. So my second year, jumped in, and he was coaching, and we put a league team together. And, of course, it wasn't long after that we were traveling. Now, keep in mind, back in the day, it was slow pitch, and that'll come back to some stuff with Verta stuff too. But we played slow pitch. There was no fast pitch until you got to high school. So, but we went everywhere playing slow pitch across the Upper Cumberland and as far as Georgia, I guess, when I was young. Mary Beth, of course, is the baby. There's 10 years difference in us. I always thought my dad treated her a little bit sweeter and kinder. I got yelled at, yanked at, pulled off the field, and she would say, "Don't tell me what to do," and he would say, "Okay," and I didn't understand that for a while, but he said I could take it, and she couldn't, so how about that?
Yeah.
So anyway, Mary Beth, he brought her right on, though. I mean, he took her everywhere he needed to take her, so every pitching lesson that Mary Beth went to, whether it was Nashville or Chattanooga, he was right there, and he was learning himself, and so every time he would come back, and they would work and work, so whatever Mary Beth learned, he learned. So therefore he could then coach it himself.
Yeah. And so you talked about softball. You also were a basketball player too, right?
Yes. Yes. I played basketball for Karen Harris, and Verta Stuff was the assistant coach at the time. I was very blessed. I signed with Motlow State. I played those 2 years. We were pretty competitive at the JUCO level. I actually signed with Cumberland University in Lebanon after that. But I didn't stay. I wasn't real happy there, so I came back to Tech and just went to school. But yeah, I was very blessed. My dad and mom paid for me to go to camps and showcases, and they did that for me, and that's what got me where I was.
Well, that's a good point. A lot of people don't see the sacrifice that parents make when you're a kid to take you everywhere, not just the expense, which is a huge part of it, but what you give up in weekends and nights and that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They flew me to Georgia. I got to fly. Robin Smith and I actually went to a camp in Pennsylvania, an all-star camp, and Robin was afraid to fly. We rode a Greyhound bus from Tennessee to Pennsylvania and back because Robin didn't want to fly. So, but wow. Yeah, we traveled around, and my parents were definitely very supportive.
So let's talk about that just a minute. So things have changed a lot. I mean, probably the beginning of the AAU and all that was when we were growing up.
Yes.
And now it's kind of taken on its own, arena, if you will, because, I mean, you can go as much as you want.
Yes.
We were talking last time to someone on the show about injuries in athletics now, and it's my perspective and point of view that a lot of these injuries, what's to blame is the lack of these kids getting proper rest, in between sports. You've got kids that are playing a school sport and then going on the weekends and playing another sport in AAU, and it's just a lot of wear and tear on the body.
It is. I agree. Like you said, it started. I actually played 1 year of AAU my senior year before I went into college, and I played with the group of girls that had already signed at Motlow. So our assistant coach there put us together, and we went and played. But there was no AAU. I mean, that's the first that I knew of anything. But you're right. I coached with Mindy Odom. And, of course, the Odoms, there was a travel AAU team constantly from the time. I mean, Janie Brock, we started kids at 8, 9, 10 years old, and they just grew to whatever age group it was. And we would start right after season, and we would roll through the spring, summer.
Mel, you played multiple sports. I just want to know your point of view. Where do you fall in terms? I've talked to several college coaches on this show, and they are for kids playing multiple sports and not necessarily specializing until maybe they get into their 11th or 12th grade year. What's your thoughts on that?
I totally agree that they can play multiple sports. I mean, I played multiple sports. The sad thing now is, if you some coaches expect you to play that AAU year round, so then you miss out. I mean, it looks like, really you can play some volleyball and some softball, but if you play basketball, to me, you're kind of stuck. You can play volleyball and basketball, but softball really then is left out, I think, because they pick up spring AAU. But I think it's kids need to experience as much as they can experience. If you're going to specialize in basketball and go play for 4 years as a girl or a woman, you can still play other sports. I mean, I don't.
And on the other end of that, college coaches like it. So, they like their athletes to be versatile and play in other sports because they learn different skills that aren't associated with maybe a certain type of sport like volleyball.
Right.
And did you play volleyball too?
I did play volleyball.
Yeah, so you were a three-sport athlete.
I did. I was not very good at that, but I did play volleyball
Harris. Karen Harris was your basketball coach. I took it for granted you played volleyball.
Yes. Actually, I was on the team, that very first Cookeville High School volleyball team when she started it. I mean, we did not have volleyball. I think I was a junior maybe when she started that up, but yeah.
Pretty good team as I remember too.
Oh, yeah. I sat on the bench
year.
A lot. I did a lot. A lot of cheering. But but Karen Harris made you play multiple sports, whether you wanted to or not. So I was informed if I was going to stay on the basketball team that I would play volleyball.
I love that. I mean, I think it's beneficial. As someone, I only play basketball and football. They kind of work together pretty good and never did play baseball. And it's funny, baseball is probably my best sport, and I didn't get an opportunity. And if I probably had to do it again, I would have done that and played for Chick, you know, in baseball. But I missed that opportunity thinking, you know, 135-pound, 5'9" guy could have a chance to play college. Luckily, it worked out. But I think I missed some stuff in the process, too.
Yeah. Sounds like you were on some great teams in high school. I know you guys are going to touch on Coach Duff here in a little bit, but are there any other coaches or teammates you want to call out, you know, from your experiences that influenced you along the way?
Well, I mean, Karen Harris, definitely. She, I drove her crazy. She drove me crazy. But we had a very good relationship. Janet Bowling, now Janet Allen, back in the day, we were really tight. Coach Harris benched us one game because she thought our attitudes were not what it needed to be. And we sat on the end and we cheered and cheered, and that just made her even angrier, you know. And so finally she threw us in the game because it wasn't doing, I think, for us what she thought it would do. And so we were a little hard-headed back in the day. But
surely not.
Yeah. But we, you know, when the class before me graduated, and that was Kelly Allred and Janet Bowling, and I mean Beth Jordan was 2 years older than I was, but I mean you, Stacy Parrish, I mean we had some really great players. Then of course my senior year there were only two seniors, and that was me and Becky Rios, and we had Paula Jackson and Michelle Aiken and some younger kids under us that really looked up to us. We weren't any good, but we worked really hard and we were a family. So there's lots of people that influenced me. But Karen Harris and Virtus Duff were the two main coaches that I had pretty much while I was there.
We're talking to Melanie Bussell today, standout Cookeville High School athlete back in the day. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Michael Bowen in the studio. And we got special guest, Melanie Bussell, talking about high school sports. And you signed a scholarship to go on and play ball in college. You know, that's a unique experience. Probably about 6-7% of high school athletes get the opportunity to do that. So how special was that to you and your family?
It was very exciting. Of course, my parents... I mean, my dad, when we on the signing day and we were there taking pictures, I mean, they both were proud. Mom was proud, too. But, you know, Mom was like, oh, no, she's leaving. Dad was like, she needs to go. But the day I left was pretty emotional. When Ralph cries, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we were super excited. I went early because I was ready to get in the gym, start working in their facilities and do the girls' basketball team lived in this little apartment, upstairs apartment. It wasn't really even apartments. It was like one big building and there were different rooms and we all had to share. There was a kitchen. It was stayed nasty. The only time it got cleaned is when my mom came and cooked for us and cleaned it really good. But we were stuck up on this hill right across from the BSU in Tullahoma, not far off of campus. None of us got to live on campus. I mean, the baseball team was in a cabin way out in the woods, and the boys basketball team was in the middle of town. But it was a really good experience for me. My freshman year, we ended up about fourth in the nation in JUCO, in the JUCO world. Pretty impressive girls that signed. And, you know, they were all like Chapel Hill, Knoxville, Crossville, you know. I mean, it wasn't like these girls were from very far away, and they recruited really well, and it was a good team.
So that's a unique experience, and not very many kids get the opportunity to do that. And, man, you know, for you guys to be together off campus in the site together, that had to be, you know, just a lot of fun for the whole group.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we got along. It was a family. When it was time to go out and do things, we were all sharing clothes and having fun getting ready. And we always made plans together. We traveled as a unit. Even just to go into town, there were four or five of us always. So we were a close-knit group of players.
That's awesome. What a unique experience to be able to leave high school and be out on your own, and, you know, kind of what you learned then set you up for your future. And your future was coming back to Tennessee Tech, and you met Craig here while you were at Tennessee Tech and graduated from there. And that takes you into your work life. So yes. when you graduated Tennessee Tech, kind of what happened after that?
Actually, when I graduated, I didn't come straight into the school system. I worked for Plateau Mental Health, and it was called the Woodland Center at the time. And so I was teaching males 13 to 17 who were incarcerated. And so when I rolled in to that, I taught there for a year. And that was, it fell under the State Department of Education. And so there were some folks who said, hey, why don't you move from the Woodland Center over to the Cookeville Halfway House? It falls under the Department of Ed even more, and you start retirement there. So I went over to the Halfway House for a while. That was 17 to 20-year-old males. That was like a halfway house, a step down from facilities like Taft and all those. I stayed there a couple of years, and then I decided that I wanted to step into the school system. And so I went and interviewed with David Little at Prescott. Prescott was a fifth and sixth grade school at the time. And so he hired me in, I think it was in 96. And so that's where my journey started. So I came in teaching at Prescott Middle, and actually coaching some basketball with Mindy Odom at Cookeville High School.
So, I mean, the experience with, let's say, troubled youth, you know, for two or three years there, that probably set you up in a pretty good space to walk into a public education situation.
Yes. Honestly, your hands are a little more tied in the public education system because you have kids who have behavioral issues that there's some consequences, but not as severe. But when you have a 6-foot kid who messes up and you tell him he can't go home and see his mom in Memphis for the weekend, there's some pretty big tears that flow there. So taking a home pass away in the juvenile detention gets some attention. But yes, it did set me up. And I've got a heart for those kids. I've had a heart for them. I ended up teaching in the behavior programs at Prescott as well. I've taught with some behavior kids at Cookeville High School. So, they're my heart. And they need some guidance.
So what, you know, obviously you had an extensive sports career, played on a lot of different teams, took things from a lot of different coaches. Are there some lessons or some values or some things you took from that experience that have really helped you in your career along the way?
Absolutely. The hard work and dedication that we were taught, first of all, you were taught respect, and you always respected your coach or adults. And so when you take that into the workplace, I mean, when someone tells you to do something, that's a yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And so you do that. Not sure that we have our youth today is coming into jobs thinking that same way. But my dad said to me, you will go in and do your job to the best of your ability. And there is no insubordination. You don't question. You don't do. And I think the coaches were similar that I was brought up with. Just do what you're told. Do what you're told. So in my job, that has taken me really far, honestly, because you don't buck the system. You work hard for who you're with, and you're dedicated to them, and you're loyal. And I think that's a huge piece in making it and building relationships with all your coworkers.
So let's just touch on that. I've done this before with folks, especially coaches that come on the show. But, you know, a lot of times people say to me, man, kids have really changed. I don't think kids have changed at all. I think what kids are dealing with at home and the way that they're parented is what's changed. Kids are kids, and they're always going to be kids.
Yes.
But, you know, if I would have come home to my dad and I would have said the teacher's picking on me, or if I would have got paddled at school, I got paddled at home.
Me too.
My dad had two rules, and they're pretty simple. Number one, and this goes for teachers and coaches, the teacher is always right is rule number one.
Yes.
And then rule number two is if the coach or teacher is ever wrong, see rule number one. That was what I was told all the time.
Me too.
And so I'm just going to get on my soapbox and I'm going to say kids haven't changed. You know, the way they're brought up at home is what has changed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. The expectation is just not there. And when you allow kids to have excuses and make excuses for every single thing, and that's what's happening, I feel, if we hold them accountable, they will step up. They will step up and do what we ask, but we've got to get them in that mindset that we're here for them and we're here to help make them better so they can meet their goals. Not when we come down hard and say, this is what you need to change or this is what you need to do, solely out of love, trying to get them where they want to go.
Yeah, and it is out of love. It's not anything parents are, and I don't want to be critical of parenting, but, you know, we want to make lives better for our kids than we had it. Everybody wants to do that, but at what cost?
Right. Yeah. But the parents have to trust the coaches that it's in love that we're trying to get them to go in that direction. You don't walk into a job today and think, oh, I'm just going to do this my way, or I'm going to tell my boss this is exactly what I'm going to do. And mom and dad are not going to come to your rescue. Even in college, mom and dad aren't going to come to the rescue. And I think what parents need to understand is until you have your kid sign the form, you can't talk to people in college about your kid's education, their grades, or anything else. So we need to be bringing them up that they can advocate for themselves, because they're going to have to problem solve. And I think we're not putting them in situations to problem solve. Natural consequences are not, we just try not, as parents, we're trying not to let that happen, but that's detrimental in my mind.
We're talking to Melanie Bustle today in the house, and we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. It's your host, Sam Brooks, again with co-host Michael Bowen in the house today. We got Melanie Bustle in the hot seat. Going to talk about a guy that we're a big fan of here this next segment. Really excited about this.
Yeah, so I think all of us played for Coach Duff in one way or another, and including your sister. So
yes,
let's go ahead and jump right in there and talk about Coach Duff, what he's meant to you and all of us, and you know, what he did for all of us.
Yeah. Well, Coach Duff is the main and only reason that I actually went into special education. I went in to become a special education teacher because Coach Duff had cerebral palsy, but there was not one thing the man could do or could not do better than me except swim. He didn't swim. And I always threatened to throw him in at some point, you know, but we would play pig and he would beat me every single time. He could hit a fast pitch softball way better than me because I was brought up playing slow pitch. So I always struggled with that. Coach Duff said that I was the only player who had ever stepped out of the batter's box and looked at him and told him, gave him the signal of what I was going to do. He was telling me to hit away, and I was pretty quick back in the day. And I said, no, I'm bunting because I can't hit this girl. I'm going to lay it down. And he jumped up and down and told me to hit away. And I laid it down.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. And so luckily for me, I got on. And I moved a runner. Of course, I took a Duff chewing, a pretty good one for that. But Coach Duff told me, I actually had Coach Duff for my marketing class as well. And I academically, if it were not for athletics and sports, I don't even know where I would be because I kept my GPA solely to play ball. Mm-hmm. My GPA stayed right where it needed to be so I could go play college ball. Duff told me one day, he said, listen, this is not about how smart you are. This is about endurance. And are you willing to endure and jump through the hoops of college to get your degree to do what you want to do? And you can do that. So I don't care who has told you you're not smart enough to do that. You're going to do it. So we're going to do it together. So if it weren't for him, I'm not sure I would have gone to college. I'm not sure I would have endured. But he pretty much said, you play ball, you're an athlete, we endure all the time, you're going to jump through the same hoops. So he jump-started my career. He wore me out up and down. He told me my first year as a softball player, he pretty much said, you're a sophomore, you're going to sit over there and eat sunflower seeds, girl. You're not playing. No time. None whatsoever. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It didn't matter. He would run your guts out, flagpole to flagpole, if you didn't do as he instructed. So sometimes I didn't even play, and I was running flagpoles, and I was like, yes, sir. I will tell you, there's one time as a sophomore I got in a game. Beth Jordan, we were in Warren County. It was raining, pouring the rain. She had just gotten her hair done. She told Coach Duff, "Nah, sir, my hair ain't getting nappy out here. It is not getting nappy. So I'm going to the van." He said, "Jackson, you're in. Her hair's getting nappy." And so I got to go in. The very first pitch, the girl burns me, and I turn and have to run to the fence to get the ball, right? Mm. I come in. He goes, "And you want to know why you don't play?" He goes, "But I know your number's 22. I saw it all the way to the fence. So he encouraged and he loved us and he didn't catch any slack. And that's what I respected most about him.
So big influence for all of us. Coach Dove's passed away since then. And just we talk about him all the time. I mean, folks ask us about someone who's influenced us immediately. That's the first one and I've had some great coaches and teachers in my career.
Yes.
But it always goes back to Coach Duff because he was relentless in knowing what you needed.
Yes.
So what I needed was probably a lot different than what you needed, Melanie. And I've never seen anybody that is so in tune with their student athletes. And everybody didn't see it the way that we did. Everybody didn't love him as much as we did, but they definitely respected him.
Right.
And you talked about his marketing class. I've still run into kids, they're not kids anymore, but grown adults who were in his marketing class that say that he was the best teacher they ever had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he taught just like he coached. I mean, he laid it out there. He put the expectations. And, I mean, you created strong products when you came out of there. But, I mean, he got me my first job. I worked Mr. Getty's over by Tech. Back in the day in work-based learning, you could leave at noon and I would go work for 2 or 3 hours and then I'd come back to practice. And he set all that up. So,
well, and, you know, you touched on it, but when you have a coach or a mentor like that who's overcome so much, it's very difficult to have an excuse or make excuses about why you're not going to do something.
I think
that has a big impact on people as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So many stories.
Oh.
You know, I'll say one. There's something special that happened when we moved into the new school. And they put a chain link fence up and didn't even scrape off the infield and called it our softball field. And it was 300 foot at that time. And we finally got out there. And that's where your dad, Ralph, comes into the picture. And Ralph was, you know, very responsible for turning that field into the place that it is today. We got rid of the fence, took it from 300 foot to 200 foot at that time and made it look like a fast pitch softball field. And just so much work went into that. And, you know, Coach Duff coached football. He coached basketball. He spent a lot of time, but he's known for softball.
Yes.
And we celebrated, when I was assistant coaching with him, we celebrated his 500th win, but he ended up with many more than that after that. We put a monument up that got approved by the school board. And one story I'll tell you that I have to be delicate with. Your dad was out there building a hole, you know, to do the foundation for that sign,
right,
that plaque that we were going to put up. Duff walks up and there's about 8 or 10 parents around that's helping because we always had a crew. I don't know how they got off work all the time, but they did.
Yeah.
Anytime we did something on the field, there was 8 or 10 people there. And so here's Ralph with that backhoe, mm-hmm, digging the hole, and Duff walks up and he goes, "What are you guys doing? You going ahead and putting my grave in?"
Yeah.
"Nobody gets a field named after me unless you passed away, so I must be ready to go." And he goes, "Well, just one thing." He said, "Just make sure if you bury me there that you bury me face down." And we're all looking at each other and going, "Why would we put you face down?" He goes, "So everybody who don't like me can just kiss my..." And I'm not going to say it. So we just all lost it there, of course. And I mean, the best one, when I was coaching at Cookeville High School and teaching out there, the thing to do at lunch was to go to Virgis's office,
yes,
and eat lunch because you would get these stories. You know, and there'd be, you know, 5, 6 teachers in there eating lunch, just listening to the guy tell his stories. Just so many memories.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my memory, Diet Coke. I don't know how many Diet Cokes he drank when he was with you guys, but there was one in his hand all the time.
Yep.
And Kathy, his wife, when he would run low, he would be calling, "You're going to have to go get me some more Diet Cokes and bring them to the field." Driving, the man would punch it for a while and go 80, and then he would pull off and we'd be going 40. And I'm like, "Duff, what are you? Can you not just run a consistent speed here?"
So
we were in that big old Lockie 15 passenger van stuck all together.
I have heard so many van stories from Julie Fye.
Uh-huh.
They called her Mary Jane because Mary Jane jokes. She used to tell Mary Jane jokes. She didn't know Duff was listening. So give me a van story?
Well, the big thing is, I mean, just that we're crammed in there, like side by side by side, and we would like be wanting to cheer or talk or whatever. And then, of course, we would do it for a little while, and then he would throw one of his Duffisms back to the back about, I believe that's enough of y'all and your, that's, we're done with that. And then we would scream, well, if you would go the same speed, we might stop. And then, of course, we had fingers smashed in that van sliding door that was so heavy. I mean, that was a tank. I mean, even if we had wrecked it, we'd have been fine because I don't even know where that van came from. But
so the standing rule I know was if you won, you know, we would stop and eat.
Yes. But if not.
I could probably get in trouble for this. But if we didn't win, we didn't eat.
No.
And then you didn't talk.
No.
So that was the motivation to win a ball game, because if you're coming back and not saying a word the entire time.
That is very true. Oh, so, yeah.
That's crazy. Michael, I'm going to throw it to you. You knew the man well, too.
Oh, he was football. Just his personality was so good. I think that's what struck you, is he was so real. And his ability to kind of give you a hard time and make you love him at the same time, not to take offense to it. I mean, he was that kind of special a person. And then going back to everything he overcame just made you feel like, hey, I don't have an excuse. I'm not going to make an excuse. Just a tremendous human being.
You know, you go back to the field, and, you know, at that time, it was me and Ralph and him and several other parents that were building that field. And I don't, you know, somebody, it went from just a scraping of ground to, like, Pioneer named it Softball Field of the Year that year, and which was in a magazine. And you know, now you go out there and you got Ralph Jackson Press Box.
Yes.
That's got to be special to your family.
Oh, yeah. When we got the phone call from Jordan Webb, you know, that said, hey, we're going to do this dedication to your dad. Of course, they had already put up Virtus's monument out there, so it was already Duff Field. And then just to add dad's name to that, you know, dad's never worked for the school system a day, but really he's worked for the school system is a lot of his career. So, yeah, we were very proud. That day was pretty tear-jerking for us. So,
and he's still influencing youth today.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I see him out at Bases Loaded all the time.
30 girls right now.
Absolutely.
Still on his list. He works every day, but I think two.
Well, you know, he worked for the water department.
Yes.
So when we talk about all the work that he put in at the field, it was work that happened after his job.
Absolutely.
I mean, we would turn on the lights and he would bring, the good thing is he had the equipment.
Right.
And had the ability to do some things that we just, I mean, it would have cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. But, you know, the folks need to know that all this time that these guys put in was above and beyond what their work day was.
Oh, yeah.
Just incredible. And you look at the field now, it's still there, you know, and it's still taken care of. And Jordan does a good job with that. And just a unique experience to know that is there. It's going to be there forever. And, you know, your dad's name's going to be on it. And Virtus Duff's name's going to be on it for all time.
Yeah. And, of course, Jordan calls dad every year. Hey, I've got your new coaching clothes ready. You coming back. You want to call some pitches, you know. And dad says, no, I'll come cheer you on for the home games, but I can't. You know, the traveling is too much and all those things. So, and he says, I have to go help Kelsey at Prescott, too.
That was my last thing there. Very unique and very special. Kelsey's coaching at Prescott South now. She had to take a year off when she had her kid, but she's back now. And Ralph is out there calling pitches still with her. That's got to be special for you.
Absolutely. So, of course, Kelsey was a pitcher as well. He put her through the ringer. And actually, you know, I sent Kelsey to Cornerstone Middle School, and he followed her. His heart runs red and blue now.
Oh, yeah.
And so he did follow her down there, and he helped coach that Cornerstone at the time. And she pitched all 4 years of her career, or actually two. She was seventh and eighth down there.
Yeah.
So he and I actually coached the fifth and sixth grade Prescott team together with Olivia Gore and Hannah Goolsby and all that bunch.
Well, Melanie, that's our time for today. I appreciate you taking the time to come over and join us today. It's been special talking about, Virtus again. And I love having the opportunity to be able to do that. But thank you for all that you do for the school system. We didn't get to touch on a lot of that. So we'll have to bring you back on the show later on and touch on a little bit more about your day job.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Mel.